Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To find out more about Hank Hanegraaff or one of his resources, go to our website at www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to your questions a little later on in the broadcast. Right now, I want to talk to Scott Klusendorf about an article that he produced for the Christian Research Journal, an article that is well worth reading. Imagine that you are merely material, that your choices were merely a function of factors like genetic makeup or brain chemistry. The implications are profound. In a solely material world, reason itself is reduced to the status of a conditioned reflex. The very concept of love would be rendered meaningless. Rather than being an act of the will, love would be relegated to a robotic procedure fatalistically determined by physical processes. But logically, intuitively, we recognize non-physical aspects of our humanity, aspects like ego. And even though our physical identity changes from year to year, we recognize a sameness of soul that legally establishes personal identity. And libertarian freedom presupposes as well that we are more than mere material robots. Together, these kinds of factors give us warrant to conclude that human beings have an immaterial nature that transcends the material body. Why is that important? Because when you watch television broadcasts, a worldview is being communicated to you, and you need to be able to see through the worldview, the discrepancies within the worldview. Why? Because we want to be apologists. We want to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. So you can use all kinds of things, even television programs, as a springboard, an opportunity to share the truth and the love and the grace that only Jesus Christ and a biblical worldview can bring to the human heart. Scott Klusendorf is president of Life Training Institute. He holds an MA in Christian Apologetics from Biola University and a frequent contributor to the Christian Research Journal. He joins me now. Good to have you on the broadcast.
Good to be here, Hank.
Scott, you say that we can learn something from a program called The Walking Dead, and in fact can learn something that will establish our position with respect to pro-life in a very powerful way.
Yes, I do agree with that, and I like what you said a moment ago about looking at media through the lens of a Christian worldview, because when we do that, we're able to see things that don't line up with what we know to be true as Christians, and we can then use those as springboards for communicating biblical truth to others. And the Walking Dead series, the AMC series that launched last fall, is a classic case in point. It's a zombie series, and I must confess that I've never been much for zombies and had never even thought of watching such a thing. But on Halloween night last year, I somehow stumbled across this, and I was gripped by it, Hank. It's not your daddy's zombie film. It's very real. It's shot in Atlanta. It's got a realistic setting. The characters are believable, and it's just chocked full of worldview ideas. And it's basically the storyline of a tiny group of human survivors who are trying to outrun and get away from hordes of rambling zombies who are there because there's been a zombie apocalypse. And in episode 6, we get to the point you just referenced a moment ago, and that's where this tiny group of humans ends up at the CDC in Atlanta, and they're about to be overrun by the zombies when they're let in through a secret door into the CDC, and there they meet Dr. Jenner, and that's where the worldview confrontation takes place.
And this is a world confrontation, a worldview confrontation that has to do with scientific materialism on the one hand and substance dualism on the other. Now, those words or those monikers in themselves are difficult for many people to grasp. Some people have never heard of substance dualism or scientific materialism. What's really going on in terms of definition here?
Well, the two worldviews go like this. Scientific materialism says that there's nothing real in the universe except physical stuff. So things like souls, morals, would be strictly matters of personal opinion or preference. They wouldn't be real the way that the hard sciences would be real. Of course, if that's true, that presents some enormous problems for human identity and human nature, which we'll talk about in just a minute. But the corresponding view, or I should say the competing view, is the Christian worldview that is substance dualism, that says we are not merely physical machines. Rather, we are souls that have a body. And that view is strongly supported in Scripture. We hear Paul saying that he had a vision where he wasn't sure if he was in heaven with the Lord or here on earth, but either way, he was apart from his body when he's describing his reference point. We hear Paul say to be present with the Lord is better than to be here, clearly indicating that we live beyond our physical bodies, and we see that truth in both the Old and New Testaments. And it's that substance view that says humans have particular natures that ground their identities through time and change that better explains human nature than the scientific materialistic view.
And the scientific materialistic view has encroached itself on the borders of Christianity itself. I mean, there are people within the Christian camp who seem to be scientific materialists.
Oh, there are. You have philosophers at Fuller Seminary and other seminaries who argue that we are physical machines, that things like souls are not ultimately real. And this is not some liberal establishment where you would only see a weird idea come out of someone who rejects all biblical authority. But it's exactly as you say, Hank, these are people who purport to be one of us, who purport to be evangelicals, and yet they are teaching a view that is decisively non-biblical.
And can you live consistently if you have scientific materialism as a worldview?
I don't see how you can, Hank, because if it's true that we are nothing but physical stuff, how do we have any degree of responsibility for our choices? Imagine someone who commits a crime. Our bodies change constantly. And let's say I commit a crime 5 years ago. Well, I was made up of different physical stuff back then. In what sense then am I responsible for the actions that I did? Where the substance view, the Christian worldview, can say, wait a minute, I'm the same being then as I am now because I have an inner nature or soul that grounds my identity through time and change. And that's precisely the issue that came up in episode 6 of The Walking Dead that I found so fascinating. Because what happened is this Dr. Jenner says to the group of human survivors, look, I want to show you how a zombie attack works on a victim. And he puts up a video screen, and he points to this victim, and you see the zombie bite take over the brain. And he points to the brain, and he says this. He says, look, the brain, it's a person's life, his experience, memories, it's everything. Somewhere in that organic wiring, all that ripples of light is you. The very thing that makes you unique and human. And then he concludes with this, pointing to the frontal lobes of the brain. He says, those are the synapse passages, the electrical impulses in the brain that carry all the messages. And here's the key point, Hank. He says this, they determine everything a person says, does, or thinks from birth to death. In other words, humans are nothing more than their physical brains. And of course, if that's true, a whole bunch of disturbing stuff follows.
And what you do is you tie this directly into the pro-life movement. And you do so by pointing out in the article that when a woman gives birth, she doesn't just give birth to a body, she gives birth to a body-soul unity. And therefore, that being has personhood from the moment of conception and has value and is equal in value to other people, and therefore to abort a baby is to take the life of an innocent human being.
Yes, because if Dr. Jenner is correct that we are nothing but our physical brains, in other words, brain function determines everything, those with more brain function have a greater right to life and greater equality than those of us with less. The biblical view says, wait a minute, we all have particular natures as human beings. We have a particular nature, a human nature. That nature comes to be when we come to be. And all humans share that nature equally. You don't have it in a greater degree than someone else, even though your functional abilities may be greater than someone else. Some of us, for example, might have greater levels of self-awareness. We might be able to feel pain more explicitly than others. But in terms of having that underlying nature, we all share that nature equally, and that becomes then an adequate basis for explaining human rights and human equality. The secular materialist view can't account for that equality.
You quote Charles Darwin himself in the article, and I want to read the quote that you employ, and then have you comment on it, where Darwin is doubting whether human belief is any more reliable than the belief that would be associated with a monkey from a scientific materialistic perspective. And Darwin says this, "With me, the horrid doubt always arises whether the convictions of man's mind, which has been developed from the mind of lower animals, are of any value, or are they even trustworthy?"
Yeah, that's a payoff quote, isn't it? Because if our minds are simply the result of blind, irrational forces in nature, why should we trust them to give us reliable information about anything, including determinism? Evolution, Hank, is not concerned with truth. It's concerned with adaptive behavior. And that's precisely the point that atheistic philosopher Patricia Churchland makes in her famous quote that truth, whatever it is, takes the hind seat. What really matters here is adaptive behavior that allows for the survival of the species. So truth wouldn't be a player in this at all if our minds are strictly the result of irrational forces in nature.
One of the reasons I thought it was good to highlight your article is that we live in the real world. Ideas have consequences. And you're saying through this article that we need to be equipped Christians. We need to be discerning Christians. We need to be ready to give an answer. Talk about how important it is in today's world to be able to discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light.
It's vitally important, Hank. And here's the worldview question I love to put to people. Rather than just say, well, Christianity says this, and that's why I believe it, I like to go at it this way. I say, which worldview does a better job accounting for things we know to be true, like human equality, like identity through time? Which view does a better job of doing that? The scientific materialistic view that says we are nothing but physical parts, or the Christian worldview that says we're a deep union of body and soul, and therefore our souls give us identity through time and change? And when you look at a film like The Walking Dead, we as Christians, or I should say a series like The Walking Dead, we as Christians can approach it a couple of different ways. One is to just say we're just not going to watch things like that. And certainly there are things we should not watch as Christians. They are morally, on the face of it, not something we should look at. But I don't think The Walking Dead, other than a few scenes we should edit out of our viewing, it falls in that category overall. Instead, I would rather look at this series and say, what can we learn from it and use that to communicate with people we know the truths that we have embraced? And it allows us to set up that question, which worldview does the better job accounting for things like human freedom, human dignity, and even rationality itself, the secular one or the Christian one? And it leads to a great discussion point. And I think as Christians, we've got to be equipped to do that, which is why your ministry is so important, Hank. Why what we're trying to do in schools, I think, is hitting the nail on the head, trying to help students understand that these questions matter.
Scott Klusendorf, not just cursing the darkness, he's building a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. He's president of Life Training Institute, and again, a great apologist and writer, and appreciate your contribution to our broadcast today.
Hank, thank you.
God bless you, my friend. And the article is part of the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. which is available right now. You can order online at equip.org via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 CRI. The Christian Research Journal, remember, it is an award-winning magazine. The content is rich. The graphic presentation is stunning. It is a mix between form and content that you just don't want to be without. It's available, again, through the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org, but subscribe today. You can make a difference because through these kinds of mediums, like the Christian Research Journal, you become equipped. When you become equipped, you can touch lives. When you touch lives, you make a difference for eternity, and that's the end game. So subscribe today, and we're going to be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we begin to answer your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be right back with answers to your questions in just a few moments.
As an organ of the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the Journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Nancy Piercy addresses how the flawed worldview of secularism fails to explain human life and experience, how the hookup culture falls short of its promised liberation, and why biblical morality is not arbitrary in her article, Sex, Lies, and Secularism. William Dembski's article, Old Earth Creationism and the Fall, answers how Adam's sin could be responsible for the natural evil, including animal suffering and death, that preceded the fall. Other topics include a summary critique of Sam Harris's The Moral Landscape, What the Walking Dead Can Teach Pro-Lifers, a review of the film The Tree of Life, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Some of today's most influential public figures ferociously attack the Bible, claiming it is a storehouse of fable and fantasy. If the skeptics are right, Christianity is no more credible than any other religion. And although Christians know they're not following cleverly invented fables, most believers cannot defend the truth and explain why they believe what they believe. 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Has God Spoken?, will enable anyone to refute the skeptics with persuasive reasons for believing that God has indeed spoken in the pages of Holy Scripture. For your generous gift to the Christian Research Institute this month, we'll send you Has God Spoken? Memorable proofs of the Bible's divine inspiration. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Now, let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, we'll send you a personalized copy of Has God Spoken? Or when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. So two ways you can get a personalized copy of Has God Spoken? You can check it out again in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants also standing by, 888-7000-CRI. We'll go right to your questions now. Remember the number to dial to get your question answered on today's broadcast, 888-ASK. Hank translates to 888-275-4265. First up, Carolyn, listening on the web in Titusville, Florida. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Okay, my question concerns believers.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're a believer and I'm a believer, and we both have the Holy Spirit living within us, why does the Holy Spirit allow us to come down on two different sides of issues, like young earth, old earth, predestination, free will, premillennial, postmillennial, there's a lot, baptisms, you know, there's a lot of these things that, although some of them are not particularly, some are not maybe basic Christian doctrine, but still, I would think that the Holy Spirit would be speaking truth to a believer.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. One is you answered the question by saying that we're talking here about secondary issues. Doesn't mean they're not important, but still they're secondary. The essentials of the historic Christian faith is what unite Christian with Christian in terms of their worldview. They are the doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. But having said that, let me also point out that you and I, Carolyn, are limited in time and space, which is to say we only have so much time, and therefore, in some sense, we're pygmies standing on the shoulders of giants. We're learning from people who have preceded us, and we're learning continuously ourselves, which is to say, on the subject of eschatology, I've written a book called The Apocalypse Code, but it took me 15 years before I felt like I was ready to write that book because I was in the process of learning. Now, I had a big advantage. I had the ability, the platform, the situation in which I could be a perpetual learner on a subject, which I could take the time to memorize a book like Revelation or memorize passages in Daniel or other apocalyptic passages in Scripture so that the study allowed me to produce an opinion that is not just based on a fanciful flight of interpretation, but rather based on carefully interpreting Scripture in light of Scripture. But we all don't have that opportunity. We all don't have that time. So there are things that you've looked into far more deeply, I imagine, than I have. And on those issues, I would defer to you, and I'd be learning from you. And that's why we can say iron sharpens iron, and we can learn from other believers in the process of living out the Christian life.
But if both believers are actually appealing to the Holy Spirit to show them the truth, like, you know...
Yeah, but it still doesn't mean you're omniscient.
Young earth, old earth.
It, well, it doesn't mean you're omniscient. I mean, you don't know everything. And the whole issue of the age of the earth, it takes a lot of elbow grease. It takes a lot of work. For example, I wrote a book called The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution and never engaged the age issue. Why? I didn't feel qualified to. I hadn't spent enough time with it. And I feel like there is a tremendous amount of time and effort and study that goes into credibly answering questions as opposed to just parroting what someone else said.
Okay.
I mean, we're not omniscient. I mean, we're learning and we're growing and developing. And remember, the Bible does teach us that iron sharpens iron. So we can learn from one another. And in the process of debate, we become more usable vessels, more usable tools in the hands of the Holy Spirit.
But if you have a non-believer that's saying, okay, you all don't even believe the same things.
Yeah, but again, you pointed this out, Carolyn, there's secondary issues. I'm sorry for cutting you off there.
That's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying that it would mess up a testimony if you've got two Christians saying opposite things. And yes, maybe they're not out of the basic Christian basic, but the non-believer doesn't know that. He thinks that that's a very credible issue, young earth, old earth, you know, speaking in tongues or not, you know.
But we're not saying these aren't credible issues. We're saying they're very credible and very important issues. What we're saying...
But a non-believer would wonder why two believers are contradicting each other.
Well, thinking with one another, I think, is a better way of putting it. Again, you know, the main and the plain things are main and plain things because they're very clear. There's no question when you read the Bible that Jesus Christ is God. So the deity of Jesus Christ isn't up for grabs. There's no question when you read the Bible that Jesus Christ is going to appear a second time and put all things to right. Now, the timing of the tribulation, the meaning of the millennium, these are things that are not as clear to people. And they take a tremendous amount of study and effort and work so that you can rightly divide the word of truth. And some people have had, as I said, more time and experience at this than others. And that's why there are varying degrees of competency when it comes to these sorts of issues. But I think what we can model to the world is that we can debate these things in a way that's collegial, a way that reaches as opposed to repels. So I'll give you an idea on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I strive not only to give information, but to give the information in such a way that there's a model of patience and kindness and respect for the other person. That's what I'm seeking to do and seeking to get ever better at doing because I'm trying to model that to the people listening in. So it's not just information or content, it's the way in which that information is presented. And hopefully that is a way that ends up allowing a non-believer listening in to say, you know what, they disagree, but they've done it in an agreeable fashion. And I start to understand these are very difficult concepts. And I think intuitively know that anyway.
Well, I agree with that. I appreciate your explanation here, and like you say, something that would reach and not repel would be a good way to address these differences.
Well, and I appreciate your persistence, because by probing and pressing and continuing on, I think you've helped a lot of people to kind of think through these things and as they're listening in.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Hank.
Carolyn, thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mary listening on Bot Radio, Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
It's been a wonderful show so far. There's quite some information you've got. It's always so much to digest as I'm driving on the way home.
Mm.
But I'm calling with a question based on something that I read in a book. It's the Left Behind series that is a novel, I understand. And they talk about God's grace and forgiveness and everything for new Christians, but that there is a price for forgiven sin. Now, are they just referring to the sacrifice that Christ made for us on the cross by shedding his blood, or is there indeed a separate price that we as Christians pay for God's grace and his forgiveness?
Well, I can't really comment on how this was written in the Left Behind series because I don't remember reading that part, and I haven't read the entire series, and so I'm a bit at a loss to specifically comment on that point as communicated in the Left Behind series again. But let me say in general what's going on. From a biblical worldview, we can say this: we're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. So that there's nothing we can do to earn or deserve salvation. We can merely reach out the hand of a beggar and receive the gift of a king. Once you're forgiven, you're forgiven. But a lot of people would say, if that's the case, why not go on sinning, that grace may abound? Well,
no.
The reality is there are consequences that follow inexorably like night follows day. So though you're ultimately forgiven, there are still consequences to sin, and therefore we do not want to sin with impunity. Not only that, but every sin separates us, not in terms of union, but in terms of communion with our Maker. And once again, this is why we strive to do it His way as opposed to doing it our own way, which is what repentance is all about.
Absolutely. No, I agree with that. I do. Well, like I said, it seemed like a pretty basic question. It just kind of threw me for a loop. I'm kind of new in my faith walk as a Christian and totally enjoying it. And I also bless your ministry. I am so grateful that you're here for simple questions like this.
Well, thank you, Mary. I hope I've addressed your question directly.
Well, enough to where I'm not going to lay awake at night wondering.
Well, that's a relief for me, and I deeply appreciate you calling the Bible Answer Man broadcast today.
All right. Thank you. God bless you, Hank.
God bless you as well. I've mentioned the book, The Apocalypse Code. We also have The Apocalypse Code now available on MP3 download, also available on MP3 disc. So you can order by talking to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. You can order in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Or, as always, you can order via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Also want to mention the CRI e-newsletter. This is a way by which you can stay connected with the Christian Research Institute. And if you've not signed up for our e-newsletter, you can do so today and receive a free wristband. The wristband is an idea that I had some time ago where you can have a wristband that has the moniker Because Truth Matters, becomes a conversation piece, and equip.org in terms of our address on the World Wide Web. And I usually have quite a number with me, particularly when I travel, and someone will ask about it, and I'll just give it to them. That way they have our website, they can go there for materials, and it's had a significant ministry value, so I would commend the same thing to you. You can stay connected with the Christian Research Institute and receive a free wristband to boot. Again, the way to do this is just go to equip.org, front page, click on the Sign Up Today button right there on the front page. Also, do remember the book, Has God Spoken? It is just available to our constituency right now. I've made that special arrangement with the publisher, so it's not going to bookstores or Amazon. No one can get it except through the Christian Research Institute. And this provides us a special opportunity to equip our constituency, those that listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, those that support this ministry with the book before anyone else has an opportunity to get it. Again, Has God Spoken? Divine proof. I mean, this is not just human. This is divine proof because God has miraculously preserved His Word over time, and we can know that these are His words, that He has indeed spoken. The book available. Again, you can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Get connected with the Christian Research Institute. Just go to equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter.
When you receive our e-newsletter, you'll be informed of special discounts, well-researched articles, videos, featured resources, and everything you need to keep you up to date with all that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. So get connected today. Again, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a moment.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. Hank Hanegraaff contends that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who is the Antichrist? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Ola, listening on WVCH in New Jersey. Hi, Ola.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Great. I'm enjoying your teachings. I admire your knowledge of biblical truth. I have a question. I on a viewpoint of the end times, of the new heavens and new earth. Now, my personal belief is that the new heaven and new earth will be on the order of pre-Edenic days before sin. And the only difference being in our new creation, God will give to mankind bodies, celestial bodies, that will not be subject to death because there will be no sin. I want your viewpoint on that.
I think you're right. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Peter says that the present heavens and earth will pass away, but what he's communicating there is that the cosmos will be thoroughly transformed as opposed to totally terminated.
Yes.
And it will be what it once was before death and mourning and crying entered the universe.
Yes.
So the old order of things will be done away with, and all things will become new. And I think an analogy would be a caterpillar that passes away and a butterfly emerges. There's a real passing away, but there's a real continuity as well, a real connection.
Yes.
And we might say the same thing about what happened at Mount St. Helens when it was destroyed. Anyone who goes there now and sees the new growth would know that destroyed did not mean put out of existence. And I think the same thing ought to be said in connection to our bodies, because what happens to our bodies and what happens to the creation go together. And what happens to our bodies is not annihilation, but redemption. Our bodies will be redeemed, restored, made new. They're not being discarded, but they're being restored, resurrected. And so it will be with the heavens and the earth. What now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay. And again, that's why in Revelation chapter 21 we read that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. The old order of things will be done away with. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain. And that will be removed, and we will be, exactly as you described it in the prologue to your question, restored to the state before sin entered the world.
Yes. Well, Hank, I further believe also that whenever God gave us these terrestrial bodies, God knew, He knows all things, that mankind would sin, but He also gave man a will, and we would be robots had God not operated in the manner in which He did, because we had a choice. We chose to be what God wanted us to be by choice. You could either accept Him as Savior, God of Almighty, and spend eternity with Him, or you could use our will to do what we want to. And so I believe this is why God gave us these bodies that can die, because God knew what man would do. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, and again, the fact that God knew what we would do as human beings does not mean that our lives are fatalistically determined.
Absolutely.
So you can have knowledge of something without being the causal agent of something. And we don't say that God was the author of sin, but we do say that God authored the potential for sin by giving us freedom of choice. Boy, you are very well spoken. It was a joy talking to you.
Thank you so much.
God bless you, Ola.
God bless you, Hank.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mark, listening on Bot Radio in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank. It's a pleasure to speak with you. A couple things real quick, and then I can get to my question. You know, the Bible mentions, in Exodus, the Ten Commandments mentions other gods, not putting other gods above, the Lord. And then the fact that the Israelites, when Moses tarried, formed another god, so they obviously believe that there were other gods. And, my question would be that, of course, Ten Commandments, the tablets are missing right now. If the tablets were ever found and indeed had chisel marks upon them, that which I don't know if it predicts that the Ark of the Covenant will be found, but if it did, would that not prove that the reason maybe Moses tarried on the mountain is because he was chiseling the Ten Commandments on the stone tablets, and that he, by, mentioning other gods, he himself believed that there were more than one god?
No, I don't think so, because, if you look at what Moses wrote, he wrote the Pentateuch. And in Deuteronomy, you have one of the most significant prayers of the Old Testament, and particularly with respect to Old Testament Judaism. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And throughout the Old Testament, this is a concept that is made crystal clear. For example, if you look at Isaiah 43:10, you have the injunction to know and believe and understand a basic reality. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. So the consistent teaching throughout the Old Testament, and indeed in the New Testament, is that there is only one God. So the notion of polytheism or henotheism is not a biblical notion or something that any of the patriarchs really believed. They were fiercely monotheistic and willing to die for the notion that there was only one God. Now, what's going on is that the children of Israel, they immediately, as Moses tarried, began to make other gods. That did not mean there are other gods, but they made images or idols and worshipped those images or idols as though they were God in place of the real God.
I'm aware that there is no other God, but I'm under the impression that they didn't, that they weren't aware of that at the time. Is what I'm because
no. I mean, my point is that they were aware of that, and that they were in violation. And by the way, this is something that we do even in today's culture. We worship other things in place of God, and therefore the commandment speaks not only to their condition in Old Testament times, but also to our condition in the present. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Candace next. She's listening in Belmont, North Carolina, on WTRU. Hi, Candace.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
Good.
I have a question from Exodus 28, verse 30. It mentions the Urim and Thummim, and the most that I've been able to find out about that is that it was some way the priest tried to figure out what God's will was in a situation, possibly. Could you explain that to me a little bit?
Yeah. No one knows for sure the precise nature of the Urim and Thummim and how they were used in a precise manner, because the Bible simply doesn't give us enough information or detail in this regard. But what the Bible does tell us is that they were gems or stones that the high priest carried and by which he discerned the will of God in particular instances. Maybe they were lots that were cast, analogous to dice. But again, in a particular circumstance and situation where you had the direct rule of God over a people speaking through the high priest. The unfortunate thing is, in the present, the Mormons seem to think that this is precisely what was given to Joseph Smith, by which he could actually do some translation work of something that has no basis in reality whatsoever. So you have in 1823 the angel Moroni divulging the location of golden plates inscribed in Egyptian hieroglyphics, and Smith then supposedly found along with these plates a pair of magical eyeglasses described as two stones in silver bows called the Urim and Thummim. So in the Pearl of Great Price, he used these glasses to translate the golden plates from Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics into English. So this is a prostitution of what they are. And I think the problem here, once again, is we just don't have enough information. We have enough information to say what I just said, but I don't think we have further information than that. And okay. And where the Bible's largely silent, we don't want to scream.
All right. So would it be safe to say it's similar to maybe what Joshua used to find out who had taken the thing out of Jericho when they figured out that that was Achan?
Well, it was similar in this sense, that there is a way in which the judge, the priest, and the king could receive revelation from God. So God would speak to them in various ways and manners. But now, of course, as the New Testament tells us, God has spoken to us through his Son, and we now have the infallible repository of redemptive revelation.
Okay, well, thank you. I was just wondering if you could go into any detail, but that's fine with me.
Well, appreciate your call, and want to spend just a few moments talking about the resource that is our resource of the month. I worked on this book for many years. It's 3 years in the making. In fact, quite frankly, it's a lifetime in the making. It's based on 2 decades of research and reflection, but it's finally off the press, and it's the achievement of a life goal for me. It's a definitive answer to what is surely the most important question facing our world. Some of today's most influential politicians, public figures, professors are violently attacking the Bible's veracity. They claim it's merely human in origin, a storehouse of fable and fantasy. They accuse you and me of believing in it only out of blind and foolish faith. But every facet of the Christian life, every word of our witness to the world absolutely depends on biblical truth. Without that assurance, Christianity would have no more authority for faith and practice than Islam, Mormonism, or a host of other misguided movements. And has God spoken, what I do is counter the contentions of those who attack the veracity of Scripture. And I show that belief in the Bible is not a guess. It's not wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. And I can say with confidence that this is the most significant book I've ever written. And I'm asking you, instead of going to a bookstore to make a sacrificial investment in the Christian Research Institute's ministry, prayerfully giving what you can today. And when you do, I'll send you Has God Spoken? And as you read, you'll know that your purchase of this book is helping to share those same crucial truths with a lost and searching world. I know you know radio isn't free. In fact, every day, every month, every week, CRI relies on God's provision through good friends like you for the resources to put the Bible Answer Man broadcast on the air, providing clear and immediate scriptural answers to the hard questions of believers and skeptics alike. Again, I appreciate your support. Get Has God Spoken and begin making a difference today. See you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for joining us today for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to take complex issues and make them understandable and accessible to all. And part of that commitment is to offer resources to you that will help you grow in your Christian walk and help you defend the faith. So contact us today. Call us toll free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find a wealth of resources, commentary, and answers on our website. Just go to www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Hank Hanegraaff's cover article reveals the key to unlocking messianic prophecy. A common objection to Christianity is that the New Testament takes Old Testament prophecies out of context in applying them to Jesus Christ. The answer lies squarely in understanding the role of typological prophecy in the Bible. Douglas Grotheis's summary critique of Rob Bell's controversial book, Love Wins, exposes the inconsistencies of Bell's ideas and his misinterpretation of Scripture in a way that is direct yet winsome. Other topics include a review of Todd Burpo's book, Heaven is for Real, What is the Unpardonable Sin?, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.